Welcome to the Speak Up Talk Radio Network. We bring you hand-selected hosts, podcasts, and talk radio programming with listening options, 24/7 streaming or listen on demand. We also feature one-on-one segments with important guests, people who have something to say that you need to hear. Visit speakuptalkradio.com. And right now, I have the notion we are going to meet a fun and fantastic person, and you'll know why after I share her introduction. She is Jalita Clegg. Jalita loves to tell stories of adventure and aliens, swords and magic, monsters and mayhem. Her writings range from science fiction adventure to high fantasy to silly horror and dabbles in everything in between. And you can find her work at JalitaC.com. Now, when she isn't writing, she enjoys cooking strange food and crocheting bizarre toys and ugly Afghans. She lives with too many pets, a horde of teenage children, and thankfully, a very patient husband. She has recently branched out into book design, including interior layout and file formatting and cover design. And I have a feeling this is going to be fun. So welcome to the show, Jalita.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Oh, it's good to have you. Now, I don't know if you knew I was going to ask this, but I absolutely have to. What strange foods do you cook, and what kind of bizarre toys and ugly Afghans do you crochet? And most importantly, why?
Because it's fun. I'll start at the last thing. With the strange and bizarre foods, when I was growing up, my father had a huge vegetable garden in our backyard, and he just loved getting weird and strange kinds of seeds to try to grow back there. So I was cooking kohlrabi before anybody ever knew what it was. Most people still don't know what it is. It's some weird, bizarre form of cabbage where the stem swells up in this big bulb, and that's what you eat. So I was, you know, got exposed to a lot of very strange vegetables very early on, and I enjoy cooking, and I enjoy playing with spices and different recipes. It's come in really handy, though. I have several children with food allergies, so we do get into the really weird, bizarre foods, because sometimes that's what you have to do to get them something they can eat.
Right.
As far as crocheting, I enjoy crocheting as, you know, something to keep my fingers busy when I'm in front of the TV. And a lot of it is the amigurumi, which are the little 3D animals and monsters and people and food and just bizarre things like that. So I like them because they're fast and easy.
Yep.
And on the Afghans, my husband calls every single crocheted Afghan he's ever seen ugly.
Ah.
So I just decided to run with that. I make ugly Afghans because sometimes you just want to do something big.
Yeah.
So I'll get out my big crochet hook, and it goes pretty fast, and I'll just sit there and make blankets. I've been giving those away as wedding presents to nieces and nephews recently, because, you know, everybody needs at least one handmade ugly Afghan in their house to make it home.
I have many because my mother crochets many ugly Afghans, and although they're really quite beautiful, and I'm sure yours are as well. I'll have to keep...
I saw in the eye of the beholder.
Exactly. That husband. Oh, my. Now, you've written about 17 books as well as anthology and magazine publications. Between crocheting and cooking and writing, do you have another main job?
Mom.
Oh, there you go. All right. You got plenty on your plate, don't you?
I do. I enjoy the storytelling, though. That's what kept me sane through all the years of too many small children in the house.
Yeah.
I'm down to only 5 at home. Oh. The youngest is 13, so it's a little different dynamic now than when they were smaller. But it used to be, you know, I'd like pop the video in the TV, and it's like, go watch your stupid cartoon movie that I can't stand anymore because I've seen it way too many times. And then I go in the other end of the house and put my headphones on and write stories.
What a life.
And it works.
Yeah, I was going to say, what a nice life. What is it like, then, to be such a prolific writer?
You know, I don't feel like I'm that prolific because I see other people who have even longer bibliographies, but mostly it's just when the idea hits, I try to run with it.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's a short story. Sometimes it's a longer, more involved story. Sometimes it's serious. Sometimes it's silly. It's whatever the mood hits me and whatever the idea hits me, and then I try to build the story out of it.
Mm-hmm. So was there an aha moment for you when you, before you were writing, when you just knew that you had to begin writing?
Not really. I've been dabbling in writing since I was little. I've been dabbling in storytelling just as long. Trying to come up with the best fibs to tell my mom as to why there are no more cookies in the cookie jar, and it had nothing to do with me. It was all, you know, aliens or cowboys and Indians or somebody else, you know. So I've always enjoyed telling stories. I did not get serious about actually writing them down until there was a summer we had just moved to a new neighborhood. So I had knew nobody in the neighborhood at the time. My oldest child was 7. So, you know, I had a bunch of little kids. I'm all alone in the house, and I'm going insane. And that's when I actually sat down and wrote one of these stories that had been floating around in my head forever. Mm-hmm. And a few weeks later, I surfaced from that and was like, wow, I wrote a novel. This is a really sucky novel, but I wrote a novel. And then I turned around and wrote more. And, you know, it's the old story of you have to write 6 or 7 really bad novels mm-hmm. before you finally get one that's pretty decent.
Right. And how many have you written?
I have published 12 novels.
Okay.
And several short story collections. Mm-hmm. I've written a lot more than that. But like I said, some of them were so bad they'll never see the light of day.
Okay. Well, then why did you pick science fiction and fantasy and horror as your main writing genres?
That's what I love. That's mm-hmm. what I've always loved. I discovered fairy tales back when I was in kindergarten, first grade. That's all I read until I discovered science fiction in 5th or 6th grade. I came across the copy of A Wrinkle in Time and read that one and just absolutely fell in love with the story. Mm-hmm. And then about a year after that, I discovered Andre Norton and Lost Cause after that. There's just no going back.
Right, right.
I've always loved, you know, space and that sense of adventure and trying to figure out what's out there. And, you know, I have to also give credit to Star Trek and the old Battlestar Galactica and some of the other TV shows that were totally science fiction. I did try to write a straight romance at one time. And the aliens and the unicorns and the magic and sword fights and the rest just kept sneaking in, you know. I cannot write a story set in the real world. I have to add all the extra bits.
Yeah, you're funny. Well, as we're talking about all of these books, why don't you share one or two of your favorites?
Well, I do have 11 books that are in one series, but they're all kind of standalone stories, mostly. I tried to make it as much as possible standalone. But the first book in that, it's the first book I published, and despite its flaws, I love it because it was just so much fun. And I had so much fun getting to know the characters in it. So the main character is a woman named Dave. All she wants is her own merchant ship and enough money to be able to fly to whatever planet she wants to and do enough trading to keep herself solvent. But the universe has other plans for her. So the book starts out, she's got her ship, she's on her trade route, she's having a fight with the two crewmen that she hired and has decided as soon as she gets to her destination, she's going to fire them and hire somebody new, start over. But the ship blows up. She crash lands on a planet that's trapped in, or that's set in a medieval level of technology. So, you know, animals plowing the field, no electricity, that kind of stuff. And the natives see her crash land in her escape pod and decide that she's a demon. So they're going to try to kill her. That's chapter one.
Wow.
So a lot of action, yeah. A lot of stuff happening in the story. Basically, on the planet, she ends up being chased by the natives. Like I said, they think she's a demon. There's drug smugglers on the planet who think that she's the competition, so they're all trying to eliminate her. Mm. And then there's the police undercover on the planet trying to catch the drug smugglers who think that she's a drug smuggler, too, so they're trying to arrest her. And she's just trying to survive and get off this world.
Where do these ideas come from? Or do you like write an outline ahead of time, or do they just appear as you're writing?
I do a very basic outline. Usually I'll write two or three chapters. Just, you know, I'll get an idea in my head, either a character or a scene or something that just, you know, tweaks my imagination. So I will write a couple chapters just exploring that, letting it go wherever it's going to go, and then set it aside and let the rest of the story stew, and then start outlining it as it comes out. So it's like two or three sentences per chapter, maybe, just a general idea of this is where I want to go here, and this is where it needs to go here, and, you know, get an idea of where the ending is, and then I write. And sometimes the outline gets thrown out halfway through and reworked. Sometimes I stick to it pretty closely. Sometimes I come up with a better ending on my way to the one I had planned. And so I switch and write a new ending. So I think my imagination is fueled by too much sugar and too much late night TV.
It's always interesting to hear a person's process, because some people are just strict outliners and they'll outline everything and get it all fleshed out. But I had a feeling you were not that way. So that was one of your favorite books. Do you have another that you'd want to share?
There's an anthology that a friend of mine and I edited, put together, that was a lot of fun to work on. We kind of did it as a challenge in a writing group. So we were chatting online. At this time, I was living in Utah. And the writing group I belong to is in Central Washington. So we just recently moved to Washington State, so I'm a lot closer to my writing group now. But at the time, we were just online chatting one day, and they were commenting about all the tumbleweeds that were rolling past at the time. And so we came up with this whole idea of write a story where the weeds are the villain. And so we all came up with these very entertaining stories where we had everything from alien intelligent tumbleweeds to evil horror tumbleweeds to just weeds, a whole lot of different things. We had a bunch of stories. We decided, let's, you know, put out a call and get a few more, and let's put together an anthology where the weeds are the bad guys. So that's the Wandering Weeds anthology, and the stories in there are a hoot. Some of them are silly, some of them are totally serious. They were all a lot of fun to read, though. A lot of good stories in that collection.
How many authors took part in that?
Over 20 different authors.
Okay, all right.
So each story in it is by a different author.
I like the idea of anthologies. I had published one, well, it was a business one about, it was an insurance one. So we reached out to all of these insurance folks that were in a specific niche market that we were in. And that was fun to do, to get everybody's expertise and put it together in an anthology. And that way everybody got to be a published author. And so they felt important for having done that as well.
Oh, yeah. The collection we put together, The Wandering Weeds, there are a handful of people in there that was their first publication credit. And then we had some other very established authors that I've met through going to various conferences and things that decided it sounded fun, so they wrote a story for us. So we have a real mix of authors in there as far as, you know, their experience level. But it was really fun getting all the different viewpoints where, you know, we start out with a pretty specific theme of make the weeds the bad guys. And the variety of stories was just amazing that we came back. I love seeing how other people's brains work and the ideas that they come up with. Yeah, the hardest part of that was having to reject some stories that just didn't make the cut.
Yeah.
So it always makes me feel bad to do that, but, well, you know, I was a certified teacher at one point. I just finished a master's degree in education. So the hardest part for me is grading. Is having to tell people, no, that doesn't make sense.
I know.
So, always makes me feel bad, because it's like, well, here's some suggestions to make it better, and if you want to try again, we're happy to have you back.
Oh.
I make a rotten teacher. I'm way too easy on the students.
You're just a nice person, I can tell. Oh, my.
I try.
I could tell. Now, back to your books. As you're writing these stories and novels, do you have a goal for the reader in mind, or is this more about you and building the characters and just getting that story out of you?
I really want to write the kind of book that I enjoy reading. So I guess my whole goal for writing these is to entertain. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to write a book that you will enjoy reading and characters that you could, you know, invite over for dinner and enjoy meeting. That's not true of my villains, but that's why they're villains.
Got it.
But the main characters, I want to write people that other people can relate to. I want to write people that are, you know, characters that people can like and enjoy being with. And no, they're not perfect. And yes, they have bad days. They have really bad days in my book. But still, it's, you know, I want to entertain. I want to write something that's fun, that has a happy ending. Yes, it will go to some dark places during the stories, but there's always going to be that happy ending. There's always going to be that hope at the end.
Right.
Because I hate stories that end on a total downer note and everybody dies and everything's horrible. And no, I want to end the story and feel good about where it's at.
Well, I like that because that's a message for life as well, where you can have those dark moments, but there's always light somewhere and just to keep heading toward it.
Yeah. There's a lot of my own personal experiences that go into my book, not word for word and not, you know, the exact situation, but there's a lot of life lessons that I've been through that make their way into the book. The things that I really care about come through in the books, whether I want them to be there or not. So I may be saying, I'm just writing this book to entertain people. I'm just having fun. But my values and my beliefs are going to come through in what I write, in what the characters value.
And I think that's a sign of a good author. And I think a reader can take that away at the end of the book where they've got a feeling like they know the author.
Well, I hope so, because I refuse to write my personal history because I think my life is boring. So I tell my kids, you'll just have to read my books and guess what my life is.
Exactly. Figure out and pull out the parts and pieces you think pertain to me, right?
Yeah, well, at least they'll know what I really value, what's important to me, because that's what really comes through in the stories that I've written.
No, I get it. Now, here's a weird question. Any writing quirks? I interviewed somebody who said that as a child, he used to write in the dark at night because his parents wanted him to be sleeping, but he still found himself now as a writer writing in the dark.
Not too weird. I take my laptop and I hide in my corner with my headphones and I listen to music while I write because it drowns out the sounds of my children fighting in the background. No, I guess one of the funniest things was that that first book, Nexus Point, most of it was written to Air Supply.
Oh.
Which gets really highly amusing because I was sitting there writing this really intense fight scene. And I mean, they're getting beat up and there's blood and stuff happening everywhere. And I finished the scene and I realized the song that's playing is I'm All Out of Love and Still Love Without You. They just cracked me up, but, you know, Air Supply was what I had at the time, and it set the mood for me enough that I could write.
Oh, would you just have it on repeat?
I had, like, their greatest hits on CD.
Okay.
And, yeah, I was writing back in the dark ages for MP3 players and the rest of that. So,
oh my gosh.
Yeah, I just put that on and keep repeating it.
I love that.
I really like movie soundtracks to write to because there's no lyrics in the way.
Right.
And movie soundtracks are really good at setting the mood, too. So if I want something that's really intense and kind of scary, I'll find those songs. I have a playlist for those on my computer. If I want the really intense action scenes, I've got, you know, a bunch of songs for that as well. And so on.
That's very interesting because when I write, I have to have it completely quiet. I mean, if somebody walked by and was chewing gum, I'd have to stop.
I'd never get anything written.
No, you wouldn't.
My house is noisy all the time.
You wouldn't.
So, like I said, the music works great at drowning out the background noise.
Well, you got to do what you got to do.
Oh, yeah. That's one reason why I own a whole collection of crock pots.
Oh.
Like, throw dinner in after breakfast, and I go hide, and dinner cooks, and I'm ready to eat it.
There you go. Crock pot and air supply, and you are right in the way.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my. I love you. Let's talk about the book design side of your life. You said that you're now getting involved with designing books. Are you offering this as a service to other writers?
Yeah, I am now. So far, I've only done my own book. It kind of came about by accident. I didn't set out to do this kind of stuff, but my first publisher, they did Nexus Point. They were going to do the whole series, and then the economy crashed and they ran into some problems, and basically they weren't going to be able to publish the rest of the books in the series. So they gave me back the rights on that. I had another publisher who picked up books 2 and 3 in the series and published them. And then they called me a couple years ago and just said, you know, your books are great. We love the stories, but they're just not selling. So they dropped the rest of the series, and I'm sitting there looking at it and going, trying to get a publisher for book 4 in a series is not going to work. And by then, the whole self-publishing industry had matured to the point where it was a viable option, and I decided to tackle that. And I would not have done that, though, except I had, you know, a lot of graphic design experience. I started my own business in 95. I did yellow page ads, and I did layouts for annual reports, and I did brochures and all sorts of other stuff over the years. So I had the graphic design experience. So I knew what I was talking about, and I knew what I wanted to do. So I started self-publishing the rest of the series, and by the time I got book 11 out, I got the rights back to book 1, so I redid that one and published it. And then in about a year, I'll have the rights back on books 2 and 3 so that I can self-publish those as well. And at this point, I'm not sure I'd go back to a publisher. I'm enjoying having the control over what it looks like and the editing and the interior layout. So since I have the background and I know what I'm doing, if there's other authors who want cover design work or who want, you know, help prepping their files for either ebooks or print, I'm happy to do that. They can contact me through the website, and we can negotiate a price on that.
The whole self-publishing world, I'm so glad that it sprouted the way it did, because there's so much talent out there, and to wait for somebody to pick it up and then not like what you're doing, and then, as you said, the whole control aspect of it. So you're going to be somebody that's easy to work with, I would imagine, too, because you've been there and done that.
Well, I've been there as the author, and I've been there as a graphic designer as well. You know, there is a lot of art involved in the cover design, because you want that cover to basically summarize the whole book without really giving anything away. So the way you lay it out, the colors you use, the fonts you use, are giving the reader a clue as to what kind of book it is. So if it's a romance, you know, if it's a steamy romance, you're going to do a different kind of cover design than if it's a light, sweet romance. You know, and if it's an action adventure, it's going to be a different font, different colors, different layout. So like I said, it was a lot of fun for me with my own book, trying to figure out, you know, what do I want the cover to look like? What do I want the cover to say about the book? So it's fun for me to do that. And there's a lot of books that I read, and then I look at the cover and go, that was the publisher saying, hey, we have this artwork, let's slap it on the cover. Working with the publishers, I went with small presses with the ones that I've worked with. And they did give me a lot of input on the cover and the design, but it was ultimately the publisher's final say is what went on the book and what it looked like. And I know the big, the New York published authors that I know, the big publishers, many of them, they don't even have any input on the cover design at all. They turn in the manuscript. They might get the edits back to okay or not, but that's usually all the control they have. So it's nice with the self-publishing to be able to have that total control and say, you know, I really don't like that cover. Let's try something different. Yep. Or, oh, I found a whole bunch of typos in here. We're going to fix those before we send it off to press. Those kinds of things. It's nice to have that. I guess I'm a control freak sometimes, too.
I get it. So am I. And your manuscript is like your baby and you want all of it to be perfect. So, yeah, so we can send folks to your website to get information about that.
Yeah, they can just, in the contact information, just send me an email and say, hey, I'm interested in cover design.
Okay.
I'm working on a business website that's separate from that, but it's not very fleshed out yet. So.
All right. So what's next for Jalita Clegg?
A whole bunch more stories. Like I said, I just graduated with a master's degree in December, and we just moved. And so I'm thinking life is finally back to the point I can start writing fiction again. And I can't wait. Writing those academic papers.
Oh.
I enjoyed the research. I enjoyed learning all that stuff, but writing those papers was tough.
Mm-hmm.
I kept wanting, you know, zombie attack would make this way more exciting. So I can get back to that now and start making stuff up. I don't have to footnote everything.
Exactly. You don't have to be so precise and exact.
I can totally make up all my research and make up all my science now because it's fiction.
Ah, you're funny. Well, now, is there anything that you'd like to talk about that we missed today?
Well, as far as encouraging new writers, I have a lot of people I meet at conferences that are like, I want to write, but I don't know what to do. I guess my advice to new writers is to just write.
Mm-hmm.
Just find the enjoyment in it. Find the fun in it. Find what you really love, what you really want to say, and then just write it and keep working at it. And, you know, it's not going to be great the first time. Rough drafts are rough drafts for a reason. So just keep working on it. Keep writing new things. Keep trying. Don't let anybody discourage you.
Well, thank you for that. That's a positive way to wrap this up. So now, where can folks go to learn more about you and purchase your books?
If you go to jaletac.com, that's jaletac.com, I have all of my books listed on there. There's a blurb on it. There's buy links for ebooks and print books. I'm working on audiobooks, so those links will go up on that site. They'll take you to all the other retailers that sell the books. So any ebook format you want, I try to do it in all of those. There are print books available through Amazon if you'd like the print books. If you happen to find me at a convention, I go to one or two in Utah. I go to a couple here in Washington. I'm looking for others to go to now and then. I'm happy to sign books. I'm happy to talk for a few minutes if you want book cover design or interior file layout or just help with them. Email me through the website as well.
Excellent. I encourage everyone to do that. Go to Jalita. That's JaletaC for her last name, JalitaC.com. Well, I knew this was going to be a fun day with you. Thank you so much for sharing you and your books and your life and your words of wisdom.
Well, thank you for letting me come on and talk. I enjoy talking about my books.
Yay. How often do you get an opportunity to do that, right?
Hey, it's always good.
Yay. Well, thank you so much, Jalita.
You are welcome.